Hello and welcome to another episode of VG Club. My name is Paul slash Viv, aka Daxter23 Jack, and today we are joined by Ben, aka BJK394.
Hey.
Gulak, aka Marcus.
Hello, hello.
Grace, aka Lila Bell.
Hi.
And I got it right that time. Yippee. And last but certainly not least, Korea9, aka Chris.
Hey.
And today, our episode will be focusing on 2011's DMC Devil May Cry.
Oh, I played the wrong one.
Oh, did you play the original?
I played the Deathfinitive edition that released, what was that, 2015 or something?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's completely different. Shit. I guess we'll just have to go with it.
It's the one I played too, Marcus. So.
That's the one I played as well.
I'll be right back. See you guys in 10 hours.
But yeah, I mean, just before we hop into things, like, did everybody play this before, or are you pretty much replaying this?
I played the demo when it initially released. So that was like the carnival stage and like the beginning of a boss fight or something like that. But
Oh, it
outside of
didn't
that,
even
I
let
didn't
you
touch it.
finish the boss fight. It's a pretty short one, too.
Yeah, was that against the hunter?
Yeah, let's say yes.
Okay, no.
We're also expecting Marcus to remember something that was 13 years ago.
Well, I
Fair.
mean, I played it again now. Still couldn't tell you what half these enemies are called, if not more.
Fair enough. You mean you didn't play through the game multiple times to unlock all the concept art?
I didn't even do the Virgil DLC that they gave us. By the end of the base
Yeah,
game, I was like, I'm
that's
good.
a good that was a good choice, Marcus.
Oh, really? It's not worth it?
Nope.
I don't like it.
Oh,
Not either.
no.
I can't,
What is it?
like, if it makes you feel any better, I kind of skipped over the DLC too.
Yeah, I didn't either.
It's like six levels, Marcus, and Virgil plays like shit. So yeah, it's there's a very like loose story. It takes place after the end of the game, and they've done away with actual cutscenes, so it's just like these like animated cutscenes that they do, and it's not great.
Yeah, but I mean, just like, what do you folks remember about this game? Because I remember, like, generally, like, it was received pretty well, but it just had this negative reputation following it. Like, it, I don't know, I feel like the developers at Ninja Team, or at the very least, like, some of the head developers kind of had a very specific idea of what was cool. And I think a lot of fans felt like they kind of were spitting on the franchise, and there's like a couple of lines in the main game where, Dante is just like, not in a million years, when that like mop head falls on his head. And yeah, I feel like just that kind of tainted the game's reputation.
It's the Shadow the Hedgehog of the Devil May Cry franchise.
Oh, come on. This one's actually good. No.
Wow.
It's
And
oh,
if
Grace, is Shadow good?
and that, I mean, I can't answer that.
Without incriminating yourself, or what do you mean?
Yeah, I'm taking the fifth on that one.
Fair
No
enough.
comment.
Hedgehog is a video
Okay.
game that exists, and I played it a lot. That's all I can say.
Well, that Alex doing a lot of work there.
Yeah,
I
you think
remember
really
going to GameStop and
dedicated.
choosing between that and Final Fantasy VIII, and yeah, I should have gone with Final Fantasy VIII.
What were you gonna say, Ben?
Feel like weirdly enough, aesthetically, Shadow the Hedgehog and this game almost match. Like it's kind of uncanny in a lot of weird ways.
That is kind of true. I mean, they both have a similar kind of theme, like a dark and grungy kind of aesthetic going on.
Trying really, really hard to be edgy, both of them.
Nope, that is more than fair.
I guess I took this game's, I don't know, aesthetic, writing, like all that really just felt like they were trying to be true to some of DMC's or Devil May Cry's roots in the 2000s. Like, they were really trying to embrace that, going for a real underworld kind of vibe of things. Like, I don't know. I never took it as, yeah, they think this is, like, actually cool. I always thought it was, like, ironic.
Yeah, I can't really say much, because this was actually the first Devil May Cry game I, like, almost beat. I mean, back when I originally played it, I never finished the final boss, but I saw the entire rest of the game compared to... Before that, I had played the first Devil May Cry and never even passed the first boss. So, like, I had nothing to compare it to. Like, even now, the only other game I finished is Devil May Cry 5. So, I mean, those are actually... 5 actually took some things from DMC, so they're actually closer than any of the original games are to DMC. So I really have no point of comparison.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think in general, it tries to kind of, like, honor the franchise. It's just, like I said, there was, like, a tainted reputation going around, and I remember a lot of people being like, oh, Dante looks like a drugged-up male prostitute.
Gotcha. I was waiting for the slur to come out.
No. Yeah.
Because this was, you said 2011 when the original came out?
Oh, yeah, no. And they, like, even the developers of the game probably would have said the slur, because, like, there's some, like, fatphobic stuff, and, like, the boss fight with, what is it, the succubus in particular is pretty juvenile. They just have, like, an argument, be like, fuck you.
Which is, I mean, it is. It's completely juvenile, and it's goofy and dumb. But, like, anybody that's played Devil May Cry, like, the humor there isn't great either. It's just, it's pretty dumb. Like, Devil May Cry is pretty dumb. It's a dumb series. I like it, but it's really stupid.
Okay. I mean, yeah, there's probably something to be said about that. I guess, like, I don't know, like, the first DMC I really got into was 3. That was, like, I bought the original version from, like, GameStop, and that one was, like, the hard version. They had to, like, re-release the, like, special edition or the Player's Choice edition to get, like, an easier difficulty level. But
3 is the only one I've never finished.
Yeah, if you play the remakes, they all have the easier difficulty level on them. So, just... That's something for future reference, but yeah, I mean, there's just, like, a ton of cool shit, like, oh, you know, like, cool stupid shit, like, oh, you know, Dante's using a stripper pole to kill enemies, you know, a la, I guess, something like Bayonetta, which, you know, I guess is the successor to the this franchise in many ways, but or, you know, like, running a motorcycle up the side of a building and then using the motorcycle to kill enemies, and then afterwards the motorcycle is completely destroyed and Dante just throwing the handlebars off the side of the tower. So, I mean, you're right. It's always been kind of stupid shit, but, you know, stupid cool shit.
Well, right. You know.
Through their lens of what is cool.
Beauty, coolness is in the eye of the beholder. We'll just say that.
That's fair enough.
Okay, I thought Marcus was like, I'm not going to dignify that with a response. No.
No, that's... I would have grown very loudly if I thought otherwise.
Yeah. But, I guess, does anybody want to give just, like, a couple sentence summary of the story of DMC?
No.
Sure. yeah, I mean, it's... Dante is the son of he's a Nephilim, he's the son of a demon and an angel, and his brother comes and, like, searches him out, and they're gonna take on this big demon Mundus, who killed their mother, who is also enslaved, like, the world. So that's it. Like, that's really it. Like, we're gonna fight against these demons to, you know, save humanity or not, depending upon which brother you are.
Yeah. What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? What do you mean? The Virgil wanted to save humanity too, but you know, in a different way.
Yeah, he wanted to save them by enslaving them and him being the leader of them as opposed to giving them actual autonomy.
They're children, they can't be trusted with a knife.
Basically what he says, yes.
But I think the major difference from, I guess, the mainline games is in the mainline games, Dante is just half demon, half human. And in this, he's like not even, there's not even, well, I guess maybe cultural humanity, but yeah, he's not really human, human at all. So I feel like that's the main difference between this reimagining in the main series. But I like to do some like really cool stuff with the devil powers and the angel powers.
Yeah, it's giving his mother and father the split. There's a reason to give him, you know, weapons on both sides and allow him to have lots of different attacks and combos that you can match up.
And yeah, I mean, all in all, I felt like they did a pretty decent job with the story. I mean, yeah, some bits are kind of, as we said, cheesy, but I felt like overall the characters were pretty engaging. I liked the female lead. I think, what was her name? Kate?
Cat, yeah.
Yeah. She kind of, like, in particular, like, you know, she's like a modern-day witch, and she kind of, mixes all the ingredients together in, like, a spray bottle, which is honestly kind of novel and kind of unique for a witch. But yeah, I felt like she and Dante had some pretty good chemistry, and I felt like even Dante and Virgil had some good chemistry. They had some like bonding moments towards the end, and yeah, which kind of, you know, made that final fight, you know, mean something.
So I mean this in the best way possible. Have you like played games with story, like a good story?
My favorite franchise is Kingdom Hearts. So no, I'm kidding.
Yeah. No, that checks out. I think the narrative served its purpose and it was fine for what it was. I'm not going to give it any more credit than it deserves, though.
It's fine.
And that witch character, like, I agree with you. I like the spray paint, like spell casting. That's super cool. Her backstory though was a little sucker punchy.
Like, in what way? Like, kind of gave off infamous vibes, or no, you mean the Zack Snyder film?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was thinking of the Sony studio. I was just like, what?
I understand the video games. That makes sense.
But yeah, no, you don't have to like the story. I just. Maybe it's nostalgia, rose-tinted glasses, but I don't know. I liked it, but you certainly don't have to like it. There was definitely some cringe moments in the game. But yeah, what about you, Ben? I know it's probably not the main draw of the game, but what do you think about like narrative characters writing?
It served its purpose for sure. You kind of have to buy into the whole tone and aesthetic of it or don't. And I think I remember when I first played this game back on the PS3, you know, around the time it came out. And at the time I'm like, this is silly and goofy and, you know, way too much. But then replaying it now, I'm like, you know, I kind of almost respect that they had like, at least they had like a vision for the game and stuck with it. Like, you know, whether you like it or not, they went whole hog on the whole aesthetic of the whole thing. So, I mean, I guess I kind of respect that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely more than fair. Chris, Grace, do you guys fall into the same boat?
Yeah, it's fine. It's I mean, as somebody that's played the series and finished all but three, like, the story's never great in these games. Like, they're pretty fucking, it's pretty dumb. Like, it's really dumb. And this one at least has like a solid through line. It does get way juvenile, but as everybody said, it kind of serves this purpose to advance you through the levels and give you a reason to kind of move through them. And that's really, like, Devil May Cry has always been about the gameplay. And, like, the story here is serviceable, and it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, the story's there. Like, I followed it. I paid attention to it. But, like Chris said, it's the gameplay is the draw. So that's why I stuck around. I did not stick around for the story. It was there. It worked. It was fine. That's all I can say.
Okay. So I'm the only one who thinks the story was on par with something like The Godfather Part 2. Got it. No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, well, in all seriousness, yeah, I guess that's, kind of it for the narrative. Let's get on to the meat and potatoes, so to speak. What did you guys think about the gameplay proper?
I think you said meat and potatoes, the amazing visuals that are on display for this game. But yeah, actually, the gameplay for me, so I guess I'll preface this by saying I'm not like a huge character action game fan. I don't really find a lot of satisfaction in learning the move combos and going for higher and higher scores on the stage. I just sort of like going through it once and being done with it. So by that, I guess with that sort of framing, I enjoyed pretty early on when they were like, they kept throwing new stuff at you, like new weapon, new types, a couple new moves that you do like in your mobility, things like that. I really appreciated that clip at which stuff was hitting. And again, from my sort of inexperienced viewpoint, I thought it was like really, really good. Like, honestly, for me, on par with any of the other Devil May Crys, like I've touched, the most recent one being 5. You know, I know 5 has a little bit more going on with the amount of characters, but in general, just the way it felt, it was really satisfying. I will just say it ran into a wall where like they really stopped adding new stuff at you, but they still had to keep throwing waves and waves of enemies progressively harder, making the fights take a little bit longer than they needed to.
No, fair enough. I think towards the end, there was one enemy in particular. It was like the four-legged enemy. Kind of like the chimera that would kind of birth the little babies. That was not an enemy design I enjoyed fighting, and it was usually like they added like a ghost and a fire variant, and that just I didn't have a lot of fun fighting that enemy type. So is that kind of what you're talking about?
No, I'm just talking about there's just too much fighting after a point. There wasn't enough new stuff being thrown at me, so it was just more waves of a lot of the same enemies. Yeah, I guess some of the newer enemies near the very end were just more annoying than anything else. But it was still just a sort of like an overall fatigue with the game by like the end of the campaign.
That does go on maybe a tiny bit long.
Yeah, I can sort of see that. Like it does. I wouldn't necessarily say for me that it like ran dry or anything, but it does sort of drag on a little bit. But overall, like I really like the combat. That was honestly my favorite part of the game, and like I don't really have much to compare it to, even though I do play action games like this, but I'm not good at any of them. So like Marcus, I don't care about like score chasing, like, oh, I did, you know, I got a C here, I need to go back and get an A at least. Like I don't care about that, but I still have fun with them. And this one, it, even though it stopped, you know, throwing in new enemy types or new weapon types or whatever after a certain point, it still didn't really get like too old or too repetitive to me, because there's just like so many options. You have, you know, the two like angel weapons are very mobile, and then you have the heavy demon weapons, and the way they all just like flow into each other regardless of, you know, where you throw them into your combo, it always just felt satisfying. So I feel like the combat definitely carries itself all the way through the game, even if there's not so much of a variety of things to use it on.
Yeah, I really like the combat in this game. I think the whole like split between You have the angel and devil weapons, like the really kind of fast but not hard hitting ones, but then like the really heavy but slow things gives you like a lot of options, and the fact that you basically have access to all of them at every time, you can just like switch them out really, really quickly. So it kind of gives you a lot of like variety and things to do. But yeah, I think, you know, at the end, definitely, the enemies kind of run out of, and there's only a handful of like enemy types, and you just kind of fight the same ones over and over again by the end of the game. But I think if you know, when I was like really into the combat and like really, you know, messing out and trying out new things and just like figuring out like a good strategy for like this type and a good strategy for this type, I think that's really where the game really, really shines.
No, I think that's more than fair, and kind of my sentiments on the combat. I like the process of trying to like constantly like one up myself and trying to do like better in the I am the type of person that Grace isn't, where I just I would go back and replay stages to kind of unlock all the collectibles and try to get better scores. I was honestly contemplating doing die mode and kind of working my way through all the difficulties, but yeah, just they throw even like more enemies at you once you get to that difficulty level, and I felt like I wasn't having as much fun with the game, so I just kind of stopped.
That, you know, that's sort of a novel idea. If you're not having fun with the video game, to just stop.
Stop.
Yeah.
It was a very foreign concept to me, but I figured I would give it a shot, and you know, I like the results. I think you might be onto something, Marcus.
Yeah, I was impressed by the amount of options that they have. Those like the mode you were talking about, the like one hit kill mode on either side. Like all of that was. It's great that the people who really like this kind of gameplay have a lot to work with there. It doesn't scratch that itch for me. The one playthrough was plenty for me.
I know we talked about the combat, but I actually enjoyed, and it's not something that's in a lot of the other Devil May Cry games, but like there's a good amount of like mobility and platforming kind of that they've added in here. It's not like super complicated, but you know, you're having to use your jump dash and use the different grapple hooks or pull mechanics to kind of maneuver through the environments, and that like was nicely spaced for me. I thought that, you know, it added a little bit of an element more to just kind of walking through corridors and killing all the enemies.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed the platforming aspect and just moving through the environment enjoyable, especially once you got the mid dash ability, just yep. Being able to like sprint through stages. And yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I kind of like just going back for collectibles, like, you know, each maybe not each stage, but like a decent number of stages, you would go back and it'd be like, oh, here's something I couldn't access before. And you'd be able to kind of access like one of the secret doors. Try a challenge. And getting those collectibles raises your end grade, that sort of stuff. And then you can use all the red orbs you get to kind of just get new abilities. So I don't know. I thought it was a really good gameplay loop.
Yeah, agreed.
I like the platforming from the angle that Chris is getting at, with the sort of, it helps the pacing of the game. I think it's one of those things that like maybe if it had released natively in the PS4 Xbox One generation, that it would have been a little bit more like streamlined or smooth rather, because it really feels like you go into a weird jump state. So it's either like you got to latch on, do your little grapple hook onto this very specific point and go into this like little animation. It's not too long, but it's a little animation to like really do it. And it just felt just a touch too janky. Like had it come out just one gen later, or maybe if the developers had just been given a little bit more time to like flesh that out a bit, I think it would have been a smoother experience. But you know, again, regardless, it was like, okay, sweet. Like, I get to do this for a little bit. I don't have to immediately go into just another room with a bunch of waves of enemies. I think I'm missing a little bit of what you're talking about, though, Dax, with the that sprint bit, because that was actually one of the issues I had, where I was like gliding a bunch just to try and move through some of these zones a little bit quicker. But there must have been a button I could have pressed to just what. Dash or run, like, or what was that?
It was the midair dash, just kind of doing that repeatedly to like just go through the stage, skip platforms, that sort of thing.
And that's different than the glide.
Yeah, if you hold that, if you hold it, you get the glide feature. But I just would like drop back down to the floor and do it again.
Gotcha.
There's also a lot of the levels, or like the platforming sections, they had those sections where like the level or the city would like stretch and expand, and you know, you'd have to like run through this like hugely, you know, either collapsing or like shifting city. And from like a technical standpoint, like the fact that this was a 360 and PS3 game, I thought that was like actually pretty impressive that they managed to get something like that working on that. But like,
no,
yeah,
that's
just like,
oh, go ahead, Ben. All right.
Yeah, like that was, I thought that was like really like technically impressive that they could do something like that on a game that's, you know, a 13-year-old game at this point.
Yeah, no, I really liked what they did with the limbo thing. At first, it was it could be a little confusing, but they kind of just used it as an opportunity to kind of just get really surreal with the levels and kind of turn everyday like settings like, oh, an energy drink factory, or you know, a Fox News broadcasting tower into like, you know, a prison or a huge manufacturing plant. I just in general I thought it was very creative what they did, and honestly I think this was the game that kind of put Ninja Theory on the map for me. I know. I think they also did Enslaved Odyssey to the West before this, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
And Heavenly Sword.
Yeah. No, I heard that one was supposed to be decent, but it was definitely a work in progress.
It's an okay character action game.
I like it. That was Heavenly Sword was the game that introduced me to Ninja Theory and made me think, oh, these guys actually are pretty good. But I'm easily entertained, so.
I mean, I think their first three games are their three best games. So,
but yeah, speaking of the environments of DMC, like that was my other favorite part of the game besides the combat, was just all the visual design, the environmental design. Like, I mean, we already kind of talked about it. Like, you go from, you know, a city to a crumbling, you know, mass, like masses of the city are just floating around. And then you're in the nightclub. And like, of course, you know, it looks like a normal nightclub for about 2 seconds, and then it expands into this huge room, and you've got these like laser light walkways and the like the equalizer graphic in the background. It's just like it's trippy in a lot of ways, but it's also just really cool and really like visually stunning in some ways. And like they keep it fresh. I mean, some parts do sort of run together, but overall, they did a really great job with the environments, just like making every single one like, whoa, this is new and different and just weird, and I love it.
Oh, yeah, I have my sentiments exactly, Grace. And yeah, I mean, did anybody else have anything to kind of say about like the gameplay or just kind of the level design?
The boss fights. Go ahead, Marcus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, yeah, I guess a similar thing for me. Like the height of the game was that Fox News fight. I thought that was really cool. and like inventive for a little boss fight. The fight itself, there wasn't too much going on, but just sort of the presentation that they wrapped it in, I like really enjoyed that. It was again, it sort of hit that sweet spot of like, this is goofy as hell, but it's a lot of fun to see.
No, agreed. And it was one of those things where, like, I guess the final boss fight against Mundus was serviceable, but it was like, oh, I'm battling a giant kaiju. This is so original. Yay.
No.
Problem with the Mundus fight is it's very similar to the Succubus fight, where you're, like, bouncing between two platforms. And so it's just kind of like a repeat, where all the other boss fights are kind of distinct. Like, you know, you have Bob Barbas, which is like the Fox one, where you do a little bit of damage, like then you're going into a TV broadcast and fighting things off there. You got the Succubus and the Virility Factory, where you're, you know, three different platforms and you're moving between them, and then his mistress in the nightclub with the baby that's gross. That was super foul. but they're all different, and then you get Mundus. It's just, oh, here's a big version, and you're just gonna fly between the two platforms, do a little bit of damage, and then fly back.
Yeah, I think Mundus was kind of like the most disappointing, considering he's almost the final boss, because like we said, they're all like different and it's interesting, and then, you know, Mundus is like giant, like weird, lava kind of flowing look on him, but otherwise he's like a giant demon, like any other like biblical depiction of a demon.
Yeah,
that's what he looks like. Like visually and gameplay, Mundus was the most like just meh. Like he's just there. All the other boss fights were really cool, but like
is
we said,
the Mundus kaiju, is that the series staple? Because I felt like I've heard something about that before, whether it's like there's just this big enemy that has to show up in all of the Devil May Cry's, but it's not like particularly engaging or interesting. It's always there.
It's almost always like a big fight against some gigantic monster type thing, whether it be a statue or something. And generally, like, you're moving around it and taking out pieces of it. And this one wasn't even that. It was just like, it's going to be in front of you and you're going to do a little bit of damage. Normally the end bosses in Devil May Cry are a little more engaging.
Yeah. And I, three and five, like the kind of just some of the last bosses are kind of more like small scale kind of, you know, more, the same size as Dante, it, you know, like a Virgil boss fight, or, oh God, I forgot who the jester priest dude from Devil May Cry 3 was, Lady's dad. But I think I always enjoy those boss fights a lot more, because big boss fights against, like a giant spider or something like that, they can be cool, but I feel like they don't test you as much as like just kind of going up against somebody that's more like Dante.
Yeah, even like the Virgil boss fight was, I think it's more interesting than even like the big, you know, Mundus fight, just because of like the story standpoint, but also because he's very small and mobile and hard to hit in that way. But I think there's like that like RPG trope of like, you know, you have fight like some giant boss fight, but then when you're fighting someone that's just like a guy with a sword, it's always the hardest fight in the whole game. And I think that's kind of what they were trying to go for in here. I'm just like, you think like the big giant fight is really bad, we'll wait till you just fight the guy with the sword, the actual final boss fight.
No, I think that's a great way of putting it, Ben. Thank you.
Did you guys have any problem with the Virgil fight, like closing it out?
No, I was able to do it on my first attempt.
I did the first time I played way back, because I didn't know you had to use Devil Trigger. But
that was what it was. I was like, why the fuck can't I kill this thing?
Yeah.
He kept just recovering energy, and finally, like, I was still on the same life. Like, I did it in one go, but I finally paused it after like 15 minutes and was like, this is really boring. How do you beat? And just use Devil Trigger. Like, fuck off.
this Fair whole enough. Time. I'm really bad with that because I'm like, oh, it's a resource. I don't want to. I don't want to use it. I was the same way with like. Take a shot. Kingdom Hearts 2. Like, I would never use the drive forms because, like, I would always just want to save those. But yeah, no, I get completely where you're coming from. That is definitely. They should at least give you a hint to use it if they want to use it for. Because they're like, oh, this is like the, you know, story reason. This is why Dante has white hair. You have to use the devil trigger.
And they did. Give you a hint on just about every other thing. Like, I don't know if maybe I missed it or.
No, there's no hint. Like, well, I read this. I didn't notice it in the game, but I read that if you attack like the doppelganger, it drops double trigger orbs.
It drops purple orbs. Yeah, which yeah. I did catch after a while, but then like you know, Virgil was back up to half health.
Yeah, like and like the thing is like you would think. When you get the boss close to death, it's like, oh, you know, I don't really need to use my super mode. He's about to die anyway. But
right.
What you have to do.
Is that needed? I guess I don't remember doing it. I thought I was just using my big red axe thing near the end to chip away just a little more than he was bringing back. But is it absolutely needed?
Yeah, you have to activate it at the end.
Okay. I must have done it at some point.
Like, I mean, you could accidentally do it, right? You'd accidentally push in L3 and R3 to do it. You might not even have realized it because it doesn't change that much. But yeah, it was needed to do it. It was annoying.
I do like the stylization, though, of like the double trigger stuff. With like not just the white hair bit, but it feels like the outlines get a little bit of that cel shaded look at the same time. It reminds me of oh god, what was that other game where they sold the ending of the game as DLC, like Akira's Wrath or something?
I think that was it, right? Asura's Wrath.
Asura's Wrath. Yeah.
Yeah, the button prompt game and anime game. Blah.
Yeah, sure. I guess I'm just thinking of it from that sort of visual standpoint where, and I think Street Fighter even around the same period did that same thing where when it goes extreme, like you just see like the lines going on. Like it really, like you mentioned, it really evokes that sort of anime feeling. But I think they did it pretty well in this game because it wasn't overdone. I didn't feel like they used Devil Trigger that often.
You don't get the Devil Trigger until pretty like it's like almost halfway through the game, right? Like you, slightly before you go fight Bob Barbish, I think, right? Because it's with the blind guy. I think that's when you get it.
Yeah, and you get that like last message from Dante's mom. Yeah, it was like you got it on that giant statue of the previous Nephilim.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's like halfway through the game, so.
Are Dante and Virgil just Inuyasha and Sesshomaru?
They kind of are.
Okay. See, I have to understand it in those terms.
I have no idea what you just said. That was, like, absolutely in a foreign language.
Well, it is a foreign language, to be fair. No, but it was from an anime called Inuyasha.
Mm.
You don't need to know what it is. It's just... that same like brother versus brother trope, yada yada yada.
Got it.
Big demon dad body that's just sort of hanging out in the background, has a lot of power. Well, is the dad dead or is it just
he got like trapped in like his own personal hell or something like that?
Okay, so he's technically still alive. It's just the mom with the no heart who's dead.
Yeah, because Mundus is like, oh, I'm gonna eat the heart because I'm so metal, yada yada. Yeah.
Yeah, that was just for funsies, right? Like, that didn't actually accomplish anything?
No.
Yeah, I mean...
That's just gross. Maybe...
He was just real hungry that day?
Yeah, didn't want to grab McDonald's.
Angel Heart, it's a delicacy.
Probably healthier than McDonald's, too.
I think I had that pasta all the time. Oh, wait, no, that's hair. Again, it follows a little bit of that corny aesthetic, but the music fit what I was seeing on screen. I'll give them that much. They had some driving music for it. Nothing I'd listen to on its own, but I thought it worked well with the game.
Yeah, every time you went into Devil Trigger mode, it'd be like, yeah, kind of. I don't want to say it's. Would you? It's not metal. Grace, you're the expert on metal here. What would you say? What type of music is it? Kind of like grunge rock.
No, I'd probably call it nu metal. Maybe a little bit of hardcore influence, but yeah, it's an actual band called Comba Christ. Let me look them.
Yeah, they're classed as industrial metal.
Yeah, agrotech / industrial metal. I don't know what agrotech is, but yeah, like industrial kind of a little bit of nu metal influence. Yeah, like hardcore influence with the screaming. It's a little bit of a mix, but yeah, overall, it's definitely. I think it would definitely fall under metal.
Okay, but either way, yeah, I kind of agree with Marcus on that front. I don't think I would listen to it on its own, but it's good. It's good enough. It fits the game.
Yeah, it definitely fits. It's okay. It's no Devil Trigger from DMC5. I think that's the peak song for this series.
Yeah, I actually do listen to that one on its own. So
yeah, same. It's on my like YouTube mix, and I'll find myself singing it every now and then to myself. Gotta let it out. Don't move fast, baby. Don't be slow. Okay, you guys probably don't want to listen to me sing, but yeah.
I just don't want us to get a copyright strike because it was so close to the original.
Yeah, I know. I'm impeccable with my vocalization of many songs. Thank you for believing in me, Marcus. I appreciate it.
Always have.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, is anything else before we kind of go into our closing thoughts on the game?
Don't waste your time with the virtual DLC.
Yeah.
Aren't there like battle rooms or something too?
Yeah, Bloody Palace. I didn't play that there. I don't really know what it's about.
It's kind of like endless challenge rooms, like one after the other, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because like, there's like an achievement for getting to like level 50 or something like that. So,
oh, sounds like my hell.
Oh, yeah, so this is what Dante's dad has to do. He has to play Bloody Palace for rest of eternity.
Unfortunate for him.
If I'm Dante's dad, then yeah, for sure.
Mazel tov on the kids. One of your sons is kind of a dick.
Well, and he's addicted to heroin, so it's hasn't been great. I could have done better.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you kind of strip all the memories away from your kids and put them in orphanages.
Oh, did the dad do that?
Yeah.
Gave him a sword, though. Give him each a sword.
Yeah. Well, I wanted them to be okay. I wanted them to be safe.
Such an ideal father. But, yeah.
Do you need a daddy? I can give you a sword, too.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. I got a lot of swords.
Is this like... No, no, no. This is as long as it isn't a sugar daddy situation. No.
No, it's just... I'm going to wipe your mind for fun.
Oh!
And send you... Well, you're a little old for an orphanage, but... I'm sure they'll still take you.
Honestly, I'll take it. Thanks. It sounds like a good deal both
ways.
Welcome. But, yeah. Closing thoughts. Ben, did you want to start us off?
Yeah, sure. Overall, it's a pretty good game. I think this and DMC5 are the only Devil May Cry's I've played, and this was definitely the first Devil May Cry that I played. So I didn't have a lot of recognition of the other things in the series. So a lot of people, I remember when it came out, a lot of people mad about Dante's redesign and the overall tone and aesthetic of that. I was unfamiliar with all that, so just playing, I'm like, yeah, this game's pretty good. But yeah, ultimately, I think it's probably my favorite Ninja Theory game. I haven't played a lot of their stuff, but this is definitely up there for sure. Yeah, ultimately, pretty good game.
Sweet. What about you, Grace?
I mean, Well, exactly like Ben, I've only played this one and five, and I mean, I really like five, and I enjoy this one. So, I mean, I can't say that I'm a huge Devil May Cry fan, but I can say that I like the ones that I played. But specifically for this one, I really enjoyed the combat. I really enjoyed the visual, environmental design. Dialogue was kind of cringy, but it works most of the time. And of course, I can't speak as somebody who has played a lot of Shadow the Hedgehog callback. Anyway, I really liked kind of the overall, like we already talked about, they put like their heart and soul into it. They didn't back down on their design choices. Like they knew what they wanted to make this game, and they made it. So, you know, like, hats off to them for that. I don't know if I would say that I'd like absolutely like recommend this game to other people, but I would definitely start out by saying, like, hey, if you like, you know, frenetic, frenzied, fast-paced combat and just, you know, bizarre, like, out there, like, designs as far as you know, environmental design and to some extent the enemy design, definitely at least give this game a look. But yeah, I think that's it.
Cool. And yeah, Marcus?
Sure. DMC5 was the first one I beat. I played a lot of the earlier entries on PS2 and the PS3 gen before it, but none of them really grabbed me until DMC5, and that's probably just because that one was like super pretty. So it was easy enough to sort of go through it. There was enough change in gameplay to keep me along for the ride. DMC has now joined that echelon, and I enjoyed my time with it. I again wish it was like 2 hours shorter. I think it was really satisfying combat. That's so satisfying. I look at Ninja Theory now and just sort of wonder, like, what, you guys know how to do this? Like, you know, unless the team's turned over enough that they actually literally don't know anymore. I'm just like, but I've seen what you guys can do. Please add a little more of this sort of gameplay to your games. And even some of, like, you know, we mentioned too, like the little Inception-y reality warping, like that kind of creativity, I wish they would sort of do a little bit more of. There, you can see some of that through line with the Senua games or the Hellblade games, but you know, seeing this sort of really makes me long for what they used to be able to do. I think I got this for like $5, and I definitely recommend people picking it up for that. Just knowing what you're getting going into it, don't expect anything serious. It's going to be goofy. You better like anime if you play this game, because I don't really see why else you'd play it. I eagerly await DMC2, which will be here any day.
Yeah. Hopefully Microsoft, I know this is kind of dour, but I really hope Microsoft gives them another chance to work on a game, because just after everything that happened with Hi-Fi Rush, I'm kind of afraid for them.
Supposedly Hellblade 3 is already greenlit, because we need another one of those. Sorry.
Yeah, that's kind of
so negative.
No, it's a fine. Yeah, but that's probably going to be, what, 5-6 years out?
Oh, yeah. It takes forever for these games that have new gameplay to get made. It's great. Love it.
And, yeah, I mean, just kind of jump Marcus there. Yeah, while I really did enjoy Odyssey to the West, I feel like this is like the best combat in a Ninja Theory game I've ever played. As I mentioned earlier, even though it's probably because of rose-tinted glasses, I enjoyed the narrative, I enjoyed the characters, I enjoyed what they did with this re-envisioning of the Devil May Cry franchise. And as somebody who has played and finished every Devil May Cry besides 2, because that's the black sheep of the DMC family.
It's a good one to skip.
Yeah, I felt like they did a lot, and I think as Grace mentioned earlier, I think even the you know, DMC see if I took some lessons from this game and kind of added some stuff to the the original iteration of the series after this game. So yeah, all in all, I would very much recommend this game, especially for, you know, like a cheap price, like $5 or $10. It can be a little cringy at spots, in particular the energy drink factory, but all in all, yeah, it's a really good complete package. And yeah, last but not least, Chris?
Yeah, I really like this game. I think this is now the third time I've played through it. If somebody were like, hey, you should play through it again, I probably would. Like, it's really easy to get into and play. Yeah, super cringy, as you said, Dax, like, especially that opening, like, where, you know, he's naked and he's flying through the fucking trailer and like, oh, we're gonna have a baseball bat where his dick should be. And like, oh, isn't that funny? No, it's really not. But it gets its feet with its gameplay, and I think it's fun. It's fun to traverse the world. It's fun to, like, you know, play with all the different angel and demon weapons and build up combos and see your score go higher, and then you get hit, and now all of a sudden you're at a D ranking. But whatever, it's fun to build it up. It's a good time. Boss fights are good. Well worth giving a play. And I think, as Marcus said, like, it goes on sale pretty often for really cheap. If you want to play it on the original 360 right now, it's $2, as they're getting ready to close that store down. So
I completely forgot about
it. Still hasn't happened?
No, I think by the end of the summer.
Might need to buy Azura's Wrath then, because I don't think there's a PC version of that.
I don't think that'll be on sale since it's backwards compatible. It's only games that you can only get on 360.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Fair enough. All right. And yeah, I guess that does
it.
Wait,
what does Javi think of the game?
Wait for it,
Chris.
Oh my God!
What? Did he tell you?
He did not. So I didn't ask him either. To be fair, like, I just asked him for his games.
We can ask him next time if we remember. That's
I'm
a big.
Not gonna be able to sleep until then, though.
Honestly, I think he was a fan of this game, so I think he probably would have been kind of in between me and Chris. So
maybe.
But yeah. Chris, I know it's in the Twitter
I'll read
Twitter
them off.
But would you
Metal Gear Solid 2, Crow Country, Darkwood, and Deadly Premonition are Javi's picks for next time.
Did Javi tell you his secret, like, tiebreaker vote?
He did not, so I guess we just have to figure that out ourselves.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Looks like we're still missing one.
Yeah. Still missing one? What do you mean?
You. We're still missing your vote.
How did you vote?
Oh,
yes.
did you post it in the...
it's in the Discord. Yeah.
My apologies.
I put it in the VG Club Discord text channel.
Okay. Can vote for Solid 2 twice, right?
Honestly, I might just take one vote away from Deadly Premonition and move it to Metal Gear Solid 2, because, I mean, if we're going to have to, like, break a tie here, I would rather it be MGS2.
Wait, are you the ghost, Grace?
Yeah. I mean, if everybody's cool with that, I could... Oops. I took away both of them. I'll just, like, do this twice, and if I can do it twice, and then we won't have a tie anymore there.
Oh man, this really shifted.
It went from Metal Gear Solid 2 being the outside to now being the one up front.
Hey, if we're going to do that, then...
That's only because of me. I moved all my votes.
Wait, how do you do multiple votes?
I just did, like, two different reactions.
That's my eyeballs, the peepers.
Oh, look. Oh, shit. All right.
I mean, honestly, I'm good with either Metal Gear Solid 2 or Crow Country. That's
Shoot. it's a real tie. Quick text hobby.
All right, so it's up between Metal Gear Solid 2 and Crow Country. Maybe we just let Javi stop it. we'll just have Javi tell us which one.
All right.
Yeah, I'm fine with either one. I don't already have Crow Country, but I do want to play it. So either way.
Yeah, it's a good homage to the Hill series. So I feel like you in particular would enjoy it, Grace.
Yeah, I definitely would. I just haven't picked it up yet. Waiting for it to go on sale a little bit.
You just
was I looking at the wrong Crow Country? I thought it came out like 7 years ago or something. Was I looking at something else?
Darkwood came out 7 years ago or something like that.
Yeah,
Crow Country just came out.
3 months ago or something?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like, it's pretty new.
I'm going to change my vote to the cheap one. No, that's fine.
We'll
see what Javi says.
I don't know which one. How much is Darkwood? They're both about the same, $14.99 and $19.99. I don't know where Crow Country, where else it's available on Steam. Metal Gear's on everything.
PS4 and Switch, at least. I look for it on there.
Yeah. But, you know, Crow Canny is only $20, so.
Oh, sorry, not Switch. PS4, PS5, and Xbox. Is where you can get Crow Country.
Okay.
And Steam.
Nice. All right. Well, we'll see what Javi says. Nice. All right, people listening. You won't.
I'll have to tune in next time for the next exciting episode of VG Club.
It may be in the posting of the episode. We'll have the answer.
That's true.
Yeah. Or maybe that's too much. Maybe that's too much work for Chris.
We're just gonna have to like throw this out. We can play Army Man, Sarge's Heroes.
No, I mean I can write it in the text.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't need to edit it into the show.
But who reads?
It's true.
But that's an that's a sewed. And yeah, with that, thank you everyone for indulging me with DMC this episode. And Marcus, say goodbye.
Goodbye.